my main focus area is, you know, of course, the irrigation water management. Maryland is a very unique state. If you see the topography or the, you know, the geography, the Western Maryland is all about the Appalachian Mountains, and Eastern Shore is all about the plain. And that's where we need a lot of solutions for the irrigation water management.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. A robust return on your sorghum investment is not just a dream. Learn more at doubleteamsorghum.com. KWS Hybrid Rye, seeding the future since 1856.
Welcome to the Crop Science Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Brian Arnell, and I'm coming to you from the campus of Oklahoma State University. Today, I'm excited to have on Dr. Hemendra Kumar. He is Precision Agriculture Specialist at the University of Maryland in College Park. During his PhD, Hemendra developed advanced irrigation management methods for optimizing irrigation timing and thresholds using data collected from farmers' fields and helped them with determining the right rate and right time of irrigation. Hemendra developed the method of optimizing variable rate irrigation scheduling based upon management zones and fields delineated using crop yields, soil, and field elevations. Currently, Hemendra has been working with different agricultural technologies, including controlled drainage structures, drones, irrigation, soil moisture sensors, remote sensing, modeling, and drone imaging processes. Of course, Hemendra is an FAA-certified drone pilot, as most of our PA folks are today. Hemendra, thank you so much for joining us today. Excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brian Arnell, for having me here. I'm excited to be here and learn more about this, you know, going on work from other people as well.
So share with our audience, you know, your travel to get to Maryland. How did you end up at UM in an extension appointment under Precision Ag?
So going through my, you know, background, my journey, I born and brought up in India, in a farming community. My family, my father is a teacher and a farmer.
What part of India? It's a large country, so I'm kind of curious.
It's a North India.
North, okay.
Yeah, it's a, my name of the state is Uttar Pradesh, which is the one of the highest populated state in the country. It has a population very similar to one of the countries like Brazil, you know, one state itself. So I'm from there, grown up there, you know, I did my schooling, locally, you know, staying in a boarding school for 7 years from my sixth grade to my 12th grade high school. And then from there, I started my journey with undergraduate in agricultural engineering from Punjab Agricultural University. That's where I started learning more about the agriculture in a science-based manner, in a more technical way manner. And then from there, I developed these skills. I wanted to understand more about water. Then I went to IIT, Indian Institute of Technology, Roorkee, for my master's. There I got my dissertation in flow forecasting in engaged basins. For that, I got the opportunity to work with Dr. Andreas Bardossi at University of Stuttgart in Germany on a DAAD fellowship, DAAD. From there, when I was developing my skills in hydrology, I got the opportunity to land in the United States at Auburn University, Alabama, working on irrigation water management, nutrient management, climate change, and sort of everything, actually, in those 5 years, I could learn to be an ag engineer. I developed the skills in irrigation, and then I realized, oh, this is something lacking, and that is drainage experience. So I went to Ohio State to learn about the drainage water management, because I think that is the hub for all drainage ag people. So I learned drainage water management. I built up the skills for both surface water as well as the, you know, root zone or the subsurface water. Then, you know, there was a position open for Precision Ag. I've been using a lot of Precision Ag technologies. So finally, you know, with these skills, I landed up in University of Maryland.
It's a fun trail that you ended up in, and you've been all over the place. So share with our listeners now, what are some of your current activities? You know, what's some of the research directions and extension directions you're working on?
So right now, my main focus area is, you know, of course, the irrigation water management. Maryland is a very unique state. If you see the topography or the, you know, the geography, the Western Maryland is all about the Appalachian Mountains and Eastern Shore is all about the plain. And that's where we need a lot of solution for the irrigation water management. This state, we don't have any irrigation guideline. Except the National Irrigation Handbook. So one of the, you know, areas that we are exploring, how can we provide the resources to the growers as well as the, you know, scientific community in terms of the irrigation scheduling. So we are developing the, you know, irrigation handbook for the state of Maryland. We are developing the science-based method, how to irrigate for different crop systems. So we are using soil moisture sensors. We are also working in the direction of the automation. How can we make this irrigation scheduling more automation side? So we are using drones to understand the field variability rather than focusing at a place.
When I think Maryland agriculture, and I've driven through several times, I love going out to Maryland. I don't envision irrigation, right? I don't just see circle pivot after circle pivot after circle pivot. So talk about, because I'm assuming it's a blend of both row crop and the high value crop. Is that correct? Or are you only working in row crop?
So it's a mix actually. You know, you said exactly what it is here. When you are driving in the mountain areas of the Maryland, especially Western Maryland, you don't see any center pivot. Mm-hmm. But when you go to the eastern shore of the Maryland, lower shore, where Salisbury and all those areas are, you will start seeing the center pivots. And that's where we have most of the water problems. We have both, actually. Maryland is one of the states, I guess. I don't know about other states, but especially in Maryland, we have both problems, irrigation and drainage. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of water clogging problems. We get the problems when we have the, you know, micro droughts, I call it, during the growing season. We are not ready to understand how to irrigate, as well as we are not ready to understand how to solve the problem of the water logging happening in the field. So we are working on both, you know, overhead irrigation as well as the drainage structures.
In an average season, how much irrigation will a corn farmer, let's say on the Eastern Shore, how much water will a corn farmer apply? Are we talking 6 to 8 inches, 20 inches? How much is the average?
So that is a really good question, Dr. Nal. Actually, this is what I'm trying to figure it out here. Normally, you know, we get enough rainfall that should be okay with the crop systems, mm-hmm. but the timing of the rainfall is not good compared to when we have to irrigate. I did this study on soybean and corn both, and I posted one of the, you know, LinkedIn post on about corn, how they look like when you irrigate, when you don't irrigate, even though mm-hmm. the same timing. And I ended up applying in soybean around 3 inch of water, which produced the maximum output in terms mm-hmm. of the yield and the, you know, other parameters that we measure like leaf and that. The question related to how much farmers apply, I'm doing the survey for that, you know, to understand how they are planning and how much they apply during the growing season, even though if they are ready or not.
It's interesting, just the, because I've been blessed to see the variance of irrigated agriculture from the high plains that, you know, they're irrigating in eastern Colorado where they get 6 inches of rain and so they don't stop, all the way to the eastern shore where half of the problem is, and it's fun, your soils, as a soil scientist, your soils on the eastern shore in that region are just a lot of fun. You have deep sands, you have zones of clay, you have all these things, and then you have some saltwater intrusion to play along with all that. And so you're really in a fascinating area that a lot of people, I really don't think a lot of people know how beautiful and agriculture-based Maryland is. And I should say my wife's family is actually from Frederick, Maryland. And so they were corn farmers in Frederick, Maryland for generations before moving to Oklahoma. And so it's just a really fascinating environment, beautiful country. What are some of the, because how long have you been at UM?
A year and a half now.
As you walk in, because you've been at Ohio, you've been down south. What are some of the low-hanging fruits? What are some of the first things you noticed about irrigating in Maryland that you say, you know what, I think I could, it's not going to be too hard to impact this?
And you mentioned that I lived in Alabama.
Yeah.
And it receives like, you know, a fair amount of rainfall during the growing season, around 55 inches.
Yeah.
When I was working on my PhD and my advisor, you know, Dr. Punisri Vastava, he asked me to develop my dissertation based on what I want to see in the future. So that was the point when I started, oh my God, I have to develop my own questions then. And that's where I started, okay, there's a, enough amount of water that we received during the growing season. However, the timing of the irrigation, and that's where I published lots of, you know, the research or all of my papers based on how much we received during the growing season. And that's where I found out if I can develop a method for the areas where we have enough rainfall, mm-hmm. and we are dependent on the rain-fed agriculture, if I can develop the method which can say that we need irrigation during this time of the period of the growing season, meaning I'm on the right track. Then I went to Ohio, no irrigation, right? It's like, oh, wow. But when I looked at the pattern of the weather change, you know, and I realized that they will need, not now, but mm-hmm. maybe in a, it's not far, maybe after a decade, they will need the irrigation. When this position came and I started looking at it, like, you know, what are the scenarios? And it is lying between Ohio and Maryland, Ohio and Alabama. So that is where I started looking, okay, you know, where are the gaps? And I look at the, you know, the science, and I didn't find anything where I can learn about the irrigation, how it is happening, what people are doing, what other scientists are doing on ground related to irrigation. I find no source. So that's where I started building what kind of irrigation we need. We don't have any center pivot irrigation system on any of our experimental station. So we built our own irrigation system. We put the sprinklers and all. And that's where I started developing the projects or proposals. I recently got funded with $1.4 million for just leading the irrigation work in Maryland.
In the Maryland region, do you see opportunity for drip irrigation on row crops, or is it really going to be overhead sprinkler?
So it depends, because the farm size is not...
Yeah,
it's not large enough, what you see in the western Midwest or even, you know, southeastern states. So it will be a combination. Okay. And that's a very fascinating question that you asked me, because I'm also going to try a drip irrigation in a soybean in a couple of years. I have heard, you know, especially the vegetable farmers here in Maryland, they use the, you know, drip irrigation systems.
Yeah.
Because they are not equipped with the big irrigation systems. So yeah, it will be a combination depending on the size of the farm.
So that's exactly what I was thinking. I think of the irregular shapes, small squares, small pockets, you know, maybe the old linear roll systems work okay, but you're not putting up a pivot on much of the fields. And so while the subsurface drip would be costly, you would probably have a lot more efficiency because you could gain acres underwater versus not.
So there's a very interesting thought that I have, and I put a proposal and it was very much appreciated, and I think I'm going to put that proposal again this year. And the idea is, on eastern shore of Maryland, you know, water table is not too low, it's too high, you know, so we have the problem of the saltwater intrusion, right? So we can take the advantage of these, you know, the low elevated, or I would say like, you know, water level that is really close to the root zone, and use it at the time when we don't have the rainfall.
Yeah.
So the combination of the overhead irrigation or sub-irrigation, I call it, can be a game-changing in Maryland, because you already have that water in ground. Mm-hmm. You just need to understand, if you're putting a controlled drainage structure at the edge of the field,
yeah.
Then you can control the flow of the water, how much water you want to store in the field versus how much water you want to release. And then you can optimize the system. That's what I call it. We need the either we need the alternative solution for the water, mm-hmm. or we need the whole system-based approach that can be optimized to bring the solution which is already existing. So raise the water table could be the potential solution for the root zone area.
So you have, and now I've got two questions in the drainage aspect, because you've mentioned it. They have both too much to water and too little, and you've talked about the drainage. Is there much tile drainage in Maryland?
Great question again, because when I joined Maryland, I started looking, and I have a field which is in Delaware. Mm-hmm. I'm targeting, Delmarva region. The farmer is in Delaware, very close to the Maryland border. And there's a tile drainage system here in his field. So it's a automated drainage water management setup, as well as the manual drainage water management setup. I work on the automated system already mm-hmm. in Ohio, and that's the paper we have published. That's the first paper on automation drainage water management in the country. And this farmer is adopting this kind of system, and he sees the future, because he's a very progressive farmer. He sees the future that he needs overhead irrigation as well, because we didn't get any rain last year.
Yeah,
enough rain actually. So he wanted to see, how can we have a central pivot irrigation system for the times when we don't have water below ground.
Now this is going, and the reason I keep such close ties on what's happening in Maryland agriculture is the proximity to the Chesapeake Bay and the amount of legislation and regulation and all that. Is there regulation on adding tile drainage? I could see that as being something that could be, especially in Maryland, could be regulated. Is there regulation for tile drainage, and that meaning the drainage coming off site?
So there's I don't know exactly if there's a regulation for the tile drainage systems, but what trend I'm seeing here that people are looking for these kind of systems in their fields. What I have learned from farmers in early, maybe 90s or 70s, or maybe way before, there was the tile drainage systems before. Mm-hmm. Now they are old. So MDA and other agencies here in Maryland, they try to work, because of the Chesapeake Bay, to control the amount of nutrients or any chemical that is coming out of the agricultural fields. And then they have the nutrient credits for that, Mm-hmm. So for tile drainage system, what I learned is it's a good system that they want to adopt mm-hmm. here in this region, so that they can actually control the flow of the chemicals or any nutrients mm-hmm. coming out of the field to the clean water bodies like a Chesapeake Bay.
So as we'll transition into the final part of this podcast, because I've not actually allowed you to talk about what you do much. Can you share with me some of the technologies that you have, the most excitement about in the near future and long range future when it comes to precision technologies utilized for irrigation management?
So what I believe in terms of the future of the agriculture would be data driven automation and the integration. When I say the integration would be most of the data that we get in terms of the modeling, right? So from lab that prepares the data for the ready to go to the field, the strategy, we go to the field, we apply the irrigation, we develop the methods, we do everything, but then we get the data to see what is happening with the data. That's where I see the problem. Then we combine the data to the models. So we already allowed one uncertainty or the error in our system where we assume something in the lab that did work or did not work in the field. That's the another error. Then we bring that into the model, and that's where we assume a lot of things, right? Let's assume this was the condition, but that is not the case. So my lab and what I'm trying to work on is how can we optimize with the realistic data that we collect from the field, which is the pain, right, to develop these kind of systems, that can answer the question for that field. So I'm looking for a site-specific, customized models or the solution that can integrate lab data, field data, and models together. And in the future, when we develop these kind of systems, we need to update these systems based on the upcoming data sets from the fields. That's where we can refine more, and that's how I see the future of the precision irrigation.
So currently, what do you see as some of the challenges or the, in English, I'd say the pinch points in getting PA irrigation implemented? Where are some of the challenges right now in just saying fully implemented across the regions?
First thing that is the lack of education, based on the science that we are throughout the state, we are developing, each state is developing a very unique methods for irrigation. That is the one of the challenges because we don't have the resources. For example, a farmer comes to the university or any other place, they want to understand how to irrigate. We don't have resources here. So that is the first point, and that's the challenge actually. As you asked me the first question, how much normally farmers apply in a growing season for corn or soybean? That is the question I'm also trying to find the answer for. How much they are applying or how much they should apply actually. Most of the time they are dependent on rain. So that is the one of the challenges that I clearly see in the state of Maryland, and I guess by year or next year I should be able to get the answer for those kind of questions.
And I guess one of my last questions I'd be curious about is that, especially as an extension specialist, what is your take on current commercially available technologies? What's out there right now? If a farmer wants to get into things there, because you've discussed some of the future of where PA is going to go, what are a couple of things that are commercially available right now is a good starting point for a producer wanting to improve their irrigation efficiencies?
So I think most of the solutions are available in the market. But for the farmers or any early adopters, the question is if they install the system, where is the future for their return, right? How long it will take, for them to get it the return? For me, to answer that question is, it's not about irrigating more or it's not about irrigating none. It's somewhere between. We need the optimal solution or optimal amount of water that we should apply. The systems that we have, if we update those systems based on the site-specific conditions, will be more accurate, will advance the technology in terms of the reliability of the data that we get. So the I'm also looking for a system that I can install over the experiment station. And that's where I see I'm trying to partner with a lot of industries where they can come and help the university to install mm-hmm. this kind of system so that we can promote the technology, we can show these technologies to the farmers that is working on ground and they can learn from these kind of examples.
That's a great point. And I'd just say for our listeners who are not familiar with irrigated agriculture is that, it's not updating an old system specifically is not just, you don't just snap your fingers and all of a sudden for very cheaply you update from a 1990s TNL or Zenomatic or something and just immediately have variable rate technology on the irrigation system. It's a quite costly upgrade there. It's usually a rebuild in many cases on older systems, and just putting in a new irrigation system, depending on where you're at, let's just stick with center pivots. They're not cheap. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars more than likely to put up a full quarter section. So a large pivot is in significant cost. So just to say, yeah, farmers, you should just go and adopt all this and every pivot should have full variable rate irrigation capability. Those are some really, really big checks that farmers have to write.
Exactly. And I guess, one thing that I want to add, when you think about the irrigation system will work for your crop and for your field. Mm-hmm. So it's better to understand your field before you go for the irrigation system. For example, I use a lot of fundamentals, soil physics. A lot of soil physics fundamentals I use in my research. One of the the error, or I would say the lag, or we need to update is the field capacity points.
Mm-hmm.
We just assume the 33 kilopascal is the, you know, fine texture soil field capacity, 10 kilopascal is for the sandy soils, but that is not the working field capacity in my opinion or in my thought, and I have been working on it. So for each adopter or the farmer, understanding your field, your crop is the first key before you go to a market to buy a center pivot or any kind of irrigation system.
It's time for our famous three. Rise and shine. A robust return on your sorghum investment is not just a dream. You can wake up with the peace of mind knowing you've wisely invested in Double Team Sorghum Cropping Solution, powered by the DT Trait Hybrid and First Act herbicide. They give growers over-the-top control of common grass weeds that reduce yield and profitability. Growers can get up to $137 more an acre compared to non-Double Team systems. Trust a system that gives you the performance you want. Learn more at doubleteamsorghum.com.
Great point. Well, it's been a great conversation, but we're going to have to wrap up because we are at the end of our time. So the first question I always ask my guest is, you know, Dr. Kumar, where do you go when you have questions? When it comes to your daily work, where is your best go-to work resource?
Google. I Google first thing, you know, what is the answer for that kind of question. But, you know, Google gives you a lot of confusion as well. Then I reach out to peers, you know, any expert, you know, it doesn't matter whether the person is in the country or in the university, I just reach out. And that's a great way of connecting a scientist or anyone who is working in that domain for that question. So that's how I approach the getting my answers.
Well, I know you're a young faculty and have a young family, but in your free time, what do you do?
Before having my kid, my free time was, you know, just go out and you know, but now is spending time with my little one. He's, you know, 11 month old. So most of my time after going back to home is just go with him.
Fantastic. Now, where do people find out more about your lab and what you're working on?
So as we talked, I have been here for a year and a half. No, in Maryland. I have the directory or the web page, but it doesn't have everything because it takes so much time to develop it. We are working on developing a website where we will put all the resources for anybody who's looking for the work that we are doing. Best way right now is email or the phone that, you know, is listed on my website. That is the best way to reach out to me efficiently at this point.
Fantastic. Well, all that wraps up another episode of the Crop Science Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us today with our guest, Dr. Ramendra Kumar. He is a precision agriculture specialist at the University of Maryland College Park. Everybody, if you enjoyed what you heard today, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you get notifications on when we drop a new Crop Science podcast. Also, make sure you share this video with your peers and friends. Leave us comments for anything you'd like to see, suggest new guests, or ask the previous guest questions. Dr. Kumar, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a great pleasure visiting with you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kumar. It was great to, you know, talk to the show with you. It was a great experience, and I look forward to something that comes in the future.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.